That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this bright and sunny May morning, May 13th, 2017. What a beautiful day. And we welcome you here to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got our brother Zach, a special guest on the line with us. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us. And folks, we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later if you want to join us. 307-745-5913. But I think we got a couple things to go over with first. Jason, you want to open us up in prayer before we go any further?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask your blessing upon your people, Father. We pray, Father, for your people to flourish and to rise higher and higher, and for your hand to be upon them, and for you to guide them and direct them and give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, for them to turn from the things that they need to turn from, for them to cling to the things they need to cling to, Father. We pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to come down upon your people, Father, and give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, more power and authority over the enemies, Father. We pray that you just do a mighty work in your people and through your people, Father. We lift them up to you, and we ask that you protect them and that you put a hedge of protection, a shield of light, and a ring of fire around them that no evil can penetrate, Father. We come against the Antichrist forces that come against us in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just hold up that shield of faith and call for all those fiery darts of the evil one to be extinguished and for them to fall to the ground, Father. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you for each and every blessing that you give us on each and every day, Father. And we just cry out to you to continue to save us, deliver us, and be our shining light. And allow us to be that light into a dark world and for us to be where we need to be and say what we need to say and don't say what we don't need to say. We pray that you guide and direct our tongues as well. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Zach, we thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll, it's like when you have guests over for dinner. You usually let the guest eat first. Well, we'll let you go first, Zach. Didn't know if you had anything particular you wanted to start out with or cover or just what's on your mind. Not to put you on the spot, but we'll let you go first heading out the gate.
All right. Well, what has been in my heart or on my heart lately is, well, probably 6 weeks ago, I'm on the DVD ministry, and the sermon was one of Pastor Peter's ones. It was Jezebel number 8, and he was talking about order in the home, and that has been on my heart quite a bit lately. So I've been praying about it, and the little local church I've been going to, I gave a little lesson about it, and I had really good results on it. And I just thought, no, I'll cover that, being that I am put on the spot. So we need order in our home, and I do not think that men and women, excuse me, especially, I can only speak from my point of view and what goes on in my life. So I have a very good wife. She has a good intuition about things, about people. But the order, not necessarily, it's not wanted. It's not understood. And I don't think women understand the power that they have in order to activate the power of their husbands for the service of Christ. And that's what I'm going to bring at Branson, is that order and how the potential of it unlocking God's salvation. Because if some people are faithful and they are willing to go and they have that proper order in their home, then what God can do and use them is, I think, is unlimited. And the example that Pastor Peter used, and that I used, because I was under Pastor Peter's guidance from that sermon, was the story of Moses and his wife, and how the lack of order that Moses was chosen. He was trying to be faithful, but God simply wasn't going to choose him because of the lack of order in his home. And I don't really think that we can't effectively serve God without that proper order. And I believe that a lot of the men and women, they are basically held back in their service to the Lord because they don't understand that order, and they don't it's first God, then the man, then the woman, and then the children. But it's just like anything that you do, everybody has their place and their job.
Yes.
And if you don't, just because you're farther down the line, if you don't do your job and you don't support, it's like anything else that you do. Like I used to do I know I talk about work a lot because it's basically the same thing. If I'm under a man's foreman, or if I'm under a man as a foreman, and I don't do what he tells me, then the job doesn't go properly. But if I trust that man and his decisions, there's no telling what I wouldn't agree to do with him, you see? And it's the same thing as a husband and wife and in the service of God. If that woman doesn't trust that man, then everything's messed up. So men have to be worth following and making proper decisions. And if that, then that woman will give her heart to that man, and she'll follow you anywhere. And the power that that couple can have will be, only God will limit it.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I figured that I was. That's my thoughts. And if anybody would like to add to it, then, you know, go for it. But I honestly believe if a man is paying attention to his wife, if that order's proper, then he can avoid. She could help that family and that man, as he's in the service of the Lord, avoid so many problems. you know, because there's so many times I listen, my wife would say, for absolutely no reason, she would say, that person, I don't know what it is about him, but I don't like him. And sure enough, 6 or 8 months down the line, I don't know how she knew, but she was right, you know. And being that I didn't pay attention, I might have taken a couple of steps. Normally, if I had listened to her, that I wouldn't have. But then on the other hand, you know, I mean, things would have been different if she had listened to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I do.
So, yeah, I mean, I think order in our homes. If God wasn't going to allow Moses to lead the people out of Israel without that order, what makes us think that we can basically save the United States or let God use us to save the United States and the Christian and the followers and basically preach the truth if we don't have that order? Because the proof is in the result that it's not quite right.
Yes.
Because if it was, then the results would be different.
And we see the exact opposite of that in the last two generations. The lack of order, the lack of Christian men taking the lead and saying, I will be in submission to you, Christ. I will mm-hmm. do your will, and leading the pack. And because they haven't led, everything else is a mess down the line. It's like that, you know. And we talk about it down the line. The Bible says, as Christ is the head of man is the head of the woman, and then come the children. That is God's order. It's not to sit on the couch and boss the wife and kids around all day. Not at all. But when the man gets out of order, nothing else is going to work. Now the woman can be.
When you boil it right down.
The woman can be a fine Christian woman and can step up and can pray and can take the kids to church and do those things, but it's not going to work to the potential or the way that God intended. And we see that in our society for the last two generations. We see just how backwards and messed up everything is. And it doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't have to be that way.
When you boil everything down, it comes down to the lack of godly men.
Yes.
In this country, they're more interested in golf. They're more interested in buying their high-speed go-karts because that's what all my neighbors are doing right now. And they're blinded. They simply don't see or don't care what's going on out there. I mean. And when you boil it right down, it is the man's fault.
Yes.
So there is no, like, hey, you know, woman, you got it. No, it's the man's fault.
Right.
Because if the man is obedient to the Lord, she will be obedient.
Yes.
But if she's not, you're basically canceling all of God's power, 100%.
Yeah.
And then when you do pray, when that order is not there, like it says in... Oh, where does it say that? Where it talks, I believe, I apologize, I don't have my Bible in front of me. It will hinder your prayers. So it's no different than it was with Moses than it is today.
Yes.
It's no different.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. You think about an assembly line. You know, when an assembly line is going on, say a vehicle's being made on it or anything, a firearm, whatever, you know, you have the start over here, and let's say a vehicle, and the frame, and then part of the body's put on it, and it moves down the assembly line. Then the next guy has to put, say, the lights on the body, and it moves down a little bit more. Next person has to put the interior on the body, moves down a little more. The next guy's got to put the doors and paint it, type of thing. You know, an assembly line. It gets built more and more as it goes down toward an end product. Well, I think the thought occurs to me, Zach, as you say in this, that's really how our Christian life is supposed to be, and that order. it starts at the beginning of the assembly line that Christ is the head and the man is under Christ. The man yields to God's will. The man says, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in thee, O Lord, as Psalms 56 says. But the man is in submission. The Christian man follows the rules. He loves his wife as Christ loved the church. You know, and so you look, things are in order. So here's Christ at the beginning of the assembly line. And then here's the man. So here comes the product down the line. So Christ is there. He's done his part. So now the man's got to, you know, put the body's on the frame. Now the man's got to put the lights on there, and he doesn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And he's supposed to put the interior in, and he doesn't do it. Well, the product moves down the line. You know, life goes on. It's not that because it's just not the way it's supposed to be. Well, when that car gets down the assembly line to the next place, to the next position, maybe that's the wife. So here she's trying to put the doors on, but the interior's not there. She's trying to paint it, but the doors haven't been put on. And it just, you know, things are out of order. They don't work. You're not going to end up with the good product, which is a loving home, a husband and wife in order to... in proper order so that they can raise their children properly, so that they can both grow spiritually as well as with and in each other. You just don't have that product. You end up with something without doors, or it doesn't get paint, or it's missing its lights on that assembly line, because things have to be in order. I remember our pastor talking... when he did the Jezebel series, and you mentioned that part 8 that we sent out not too long ago, but when he originally did that, you know, people would call in and, oh, they'd give stories of this Jezebel that they had, and, oh, she wouldn't mind, she wouldn't do this, and she would, you know, fight on everything. People would call in with stories about that. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the pastor would say that it was the man that was out of order. You know, it was the man that wasn't providing for his family. It was the man that wasn't taking his wife and family either to DVD church or to church. It was the man that wasn't praying with his family. It was the man that wasn't guarding and making sure, you know, that his wife and children weren't being attacked by the enemy, things like that. And 9 times out of 10, that's where it came back to. And I think that's just what you're saying, that, you know, when the man is out of order and that's where it starts, then it ain't going to be better down the road. It's just not.
It's only going to get worse. And yeah. I remember when I was a kid going to the Baal preachers, and they would do, like, every year they would do a series on marriage, and it was like in front of the whole congregation. So when you were a child, you learned from the beginning how they wanted things done. And the thing that sticks out in my mind was, when you're married, it's a 50-50 deal.
Yes.
And so that's how everybody acted. And in reality is what happened. There's no 50-50, because Jesus said a house divided cannot stand. Well, it's 50-50. You just divided that house.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many people, good people, that loved the Lord, or thought they did, but they had improper training in that area, and in a lot of areas, because they believed a lot of other lies. But the end result was, they ended up being in a broken home because of that 50-50. They literally gave half of the authority to the woman and half of the authority to the man. And I can't tell you how many people I know personally, it simply did not work. And, you know, and it's sad. But
right.
There is, and it shouldn't be that way. But it was like you're saying, Richard, it starts with the man. The man has to be worth following. The man, you know, a woman... he wants that security, I believe. I mean, and if you are not doing your job properly, the results in home, if things ain't going right, you better look at yourself in the mirror first.
Right. That's
because in the end, you're going to have to deal with God about it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about a quick fix, but it's what I simply did. And don't get me wrong, I would say my wife is probably one of the most unrebellious women I've ever met. But I started praying for order in my home, and the results have been fabulous. We look at each other like the day when we got married, you know, because everybody knows when you go, you get a little bit of few miles on you. I mean, you kind of get in that grind of things, of raising kids and, you know, the daily life. But that glow came back, and that support, you know, the support is stronger, and it is a lot better. And, you know, and I'm not saying it was bad by any means, but the end result is we have to do it for the glory of God. We have to be submitted to God and do it His way, because in the end, He is in charge.
Yes.
And the results that we get is because of how we acted, and it doesn't matter what we thought, it's what He thought. And we're supposed to know the Word of God. And the one thing at home, we're supposed to know how our homes are supposed to be set up. And if there's all these preachers out there saying otherwise, they're going against the will of God. And then the result is you have the Christian world that we have today that is complacent. They have compromise. And, you know, I just went by a church a couple days ago. They had a big rainbow flag in front of their door. Well, geez, you know, how much compromise was in that congregation? Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit. You're right. The people, like you mentioned growing up, the people don't realize the influences that they have been influenced with or programmed with from the media, from the sinful world, but also from the improper teaching from the churches. And, you know, Pastor would put it out time and time again, and we sure try to stand on it as well. Don't believe me. Believe the Word. You know, go back and look in the Word and see if what we're saying, if what He said, is true or not. And but that's not what the people do. The people are happy to believe a lie when they get this.
Well, going back
teaching
to that chart that Pastor used to use so often on, you know, where does the spiritual condition of the people come from? You know, and if you follow the chain of command up, it goes back to the churches. You know, you get, you know, to condition of your spiritual leaders, you go to follow the chain of command. I mean, and it's no wonder that we're in such a mess.
Yeah. And you contrast that with, say, the time of the Revolutionary War, when you had preachers and teachers in the churches that were standing on the Word of God, that were claiming no king but Jesus, that were saying, we must obey God rather than man. And that's what you had at the pulpits. We carry a book called Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution. And when you read some of those sermons that they gave and the lives that some of those men led then, you see that it was not a time of compromise. There were no rainbow flags, as you said, Zach. You know, there was no compromise. It was, this is what the Word of God says, and we must obey God rather than man. But, you know, the enemy has come in and compromised that. But it's still that way.
So see, I've often, I just started thinking this way because of that sermon. And the more I thought about it, you know, if you're out there serving the Lord and trying to do your best, and for some reason you're not getting the results that you think that you should get, which you're probably right. I could be wrong. I understand God's timing is better, or God's timing is God's timing, and I have no reason or right to go against it. But the thought occurred to me, maybe because of improper order, in my own house is because is the reason the results aren't what I think they should be. Because I know the Word of God pretty well, and I know the Lord, He doesn't want anybody to, you know, go to hell. But maybe if He wouldn't handle Moses, if He handled Moses the way that He did, maybe the reason the results aren't what I think they should be, because I'm going on 2 years now.
Right.
Is because it's because of my house. Okay, so now that puts that responsibility on me.
Yes, it does.
And it's intimidating to think that. But if we're going to do this, we have to do it God's way.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's important, because not only is it just at your house, it affects other people. And if you're out there trying to serve the Lord and you have something right, God's simply not going to allow it, because the Bible says your prayers are hindered. And that if you're getting bad intel because your prayers are hindered because of that lack of order, then you're all messed up. Then you simply can't take the proper step. And that's why it's important. And that's why I bring it up.
No, it's an excellent point. It is. It is. It has to be God's way. And His ways, the Bible says, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And His ways are right. His ways are right. And unfortunately, we've, as a people, have gotten so far apart, so far away from His ways. But he does honor those that come back. It pleases Him, I'm sure, when we do our best, when we come back, when we try to put things in order, when we do as Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it'll be given to you. You know, how many times do we say that? We have not because we ask not. Now, a little bit further, it says, now, you ask and you don't get what you want because you ask with the wrong intentions. And the intention, it has to be just like you said, Zach, God's will, to please God. When you know that what you're doing is in God's will, that it's pleasing to Him, but like you said, maybe you're not progressing like you want, or you're not growing like you want. The place to look is in the mirror. And you know, our brother Steve brought a good. He mentioned it again at this last communion message. Communion is a time to repent, to judge ourselves, to reflect on our lives. And if you don't know maybe what's wrong or what needs to be improved upon in your life, ask, Lord, what is it that I need to change? What is it, Lord, that I need to do? And when you ask with the right intentions, to get in, it might be to put things in proper order. It might be to start doing something. It might be to stop doing something. But it's getting in His order, and I'm glad you bring that up about Moses, because you think, well, here he had Moses do all this stuff. Why would he stop him here? Why would he not just continue on with him? And it things have to be in the proper order according to the word, not according to what that guy says on Sunday morning, not according, especially that guy that's flying the rainbow flag out front. But according to the word. And the church world today, oh, they call that legalism. Oh, you're trying to follow the law. You think you have to do this. There's nothing you can do. And they put that trash out there and get the people, because the people don't want to do anything. They want to just, you know, it's the same way it's always been. The people want to sin and get by and still have the blessings of God. But the people want to do whatever they want to do. If they want to get tattooed up and earrings and rings every place on their body, and tattoos and dress like a bum and all that, they want to be able to do that and still have God's blessings. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Or they want to have their home out of order and it just be however, just whatever, just whatever. Yeah, we're 50-50. It works for us, you know, and still receives God's blessings, and it just doesn't work that way. Just doesn't. Well, folks, halfway through the program, we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913, if you have a comment or a question. And Jason, what do you see happening in the news? Are we going to war this week, do you think?
We are in the times of wars and rumors of wars. So, you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, I think it's a good point, like what Zach brought up, ordering a home. You know, get things in order, because we don't know what's on the horizon. You know, we want to have God's favor on our side, and, you know, we need to be doing everything that that we can to make sure that God's on our side and we're on God's side. You know, as we see these things between Russia and Korea and China, and, I mean, it's, boy, things are heating up. I mean, they're heating up like crazy. And it's very possible, you know what I mean? And honestly, to tell you the truth, we don't know if the war's already begun or not. We don't know what's being taken place. I mean, you know, Korea is, you know, basically threatening us that if we don't turn over the assassins on the attempted assassin attacks, that they're going to do this and that. And, you know, it's, you know, if we have been sending assassins into Korea to assassinate this, you know, little fat dude, then as far as I'm concerned, the war has already begun, because that's what you do in an act of war, is you try to kill their leaders, we try to kill their leaders, you know, vice versa. That is an act of war. And I think that, I think they realize it. So to tell you the truth, we have no idea how much of this warfare is already being taken place. You look at, you know, the cyber warfare and what's been going on with that. I mean, Russia's threatening us with more cyber attacks and, you know, we're spending all kinds of billions of dollars on to prevent cyber attacks. So, you know, if we're getting attacked and we're spending billions of dollars on preventing attacks, you know, the war's already begun. There's a war being taken place. It's on different fronts and it's in different areas. But you look at the way the troops are moving around like crazy, too.
Yes.
But it's pretty obvious that, you know, there is a war. I mean, have they come out and actually said it? No, they haven't. They haven't, but they have. When they talk about this attack and that attack, attacks happen in war.
Yes.
And so, you know, my opinion is, hey, we're at war. We've been at war for quite some time now. Just because they haven't had a public declaration of it, you know, doesn't mean that we're not there yet. And, you know, but we still got these rumors of other wars, you know, and it's very possible that we're going to end up in more wars. I mean, it's, you know, I have no idea how many wars were taking place right now, but it's, you know, definitely the time to, you know, be right with the Lord, you know, and seek His will and, you know, ask for that Holy Spirit to come upon you and to guide you and direct you and, you know, for, you know, how we need to be preparing for this war, what we can do to fight in these warfares. You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's physical wars being taken place and there's spiritual wars that are taking place right now.
Yes.
And, you know, it's that time to you know, pray. You know, get your house in order, trim your lamps, you know, make sure you got plenty of fuel for those lamps. You know, be as those wise virgins were, you know, in the parable of the wise virgins. You know, it's one of the things that caught my eye was, is 2017 the year of the tick? Scientists predict surge in Lyme disease cases. And this was also of Natural News and a really good article, and it says, I'll just read the first paragraph. It says, scientists have urged those in the Northeast United States to prepare for a rise in Lyme disease cases this year. The forecast comes at the heels of a population surge among white-footed mice, which serve as hosts for Lyme-bearing ticks. And it goes on to talk about how there's going to be this surge in Lyme disease. And Lyme disease is something that, you know, it was what they say was discovered in 1975, and even throughout the 80s, it wasn't something that was very common. And in the last 5-10 years, it's just surged like crazy. I mean, it's on basically every state in the United States now. And it's you know, nobody really ever stops to think, you know, okay, where did this Lyme disease come from? Because, you know, my grandfather or great-grandfather, they didn't have to deal with it. They never heard of it. They went out and they spent more time in the woods than anybody I knew. They didn't wipe down with feet. They said that when you came back, you know, sometimes that they always checked for ticks when they got home.
Yep.
That's what they did.
Yep.
And I remember doing that with a kid when I spent a lot of time up in the woods of Minnesota, and that was tick country. And every day before we went to bed, my grandma would go over us and check us for ticks.
Sure.
And pick off the ticks. And we did that with the dogs. You know, the dogs would come home at night, and they'd be running around, and we'd have to pick ticks off the dogs every night. We didn't never had to worry about Lyme's disease, and it was never a word that we even heard anything that had disease or anything that we had to worry about. You know, it wasn't there. You know, the thing is you look into it, and it was where it came from. It came from the experiments at Plum Island Animal Disease Center on Long Island, and they had an accidental. They were doing experimenting with this disease on ticks, and they had an accident, and they escaped, and that's where Lyme's disease came from. You know, it's the same thing with this chronic wasting disease. I mean, you start going back to these. That started right here in Colorado with some deer that they were doing experiments with at the CDC right down the road from us, and they accidentally got out. You look at that, and, you know, that is an act of war. That is because, first of all, it wasn't accidents. It was things that were planned, and it just goes to prove we are dealing with stealers, killers, destroyers. And yes, that's what they, you know, and it's just, I mean, I believe it's all part of that one world agenda, that Agenda 21. I mean, there's a lot of names for it. You know, they don't want us to have a good, healthy deer population. They don't want us to have a good, healthy elk population. They don't want people to be able to go out. There's people that won't go out in the woods because they're scared about getting bit by a tick and getting Lyme's disease.
Yes. There again, you know, they've listened to the propaganda. They've been unduly influenced, improperly influenced by, as you mentioned, the stealers, killers, and destroyers. And, you know, but what we're doing here, folks, is what Hebrews 3:13 says. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. And, you know, we want your joy to be made full. We want you to have that abundant life that Christ came. He gives us power and authority over a Jezebel spirit. He gives us power and authority over Lyme disease. He gives us power and authority over this war that we're in, that you so well described, Jason. He does, and so we have to remember that. We need to be aware of these things without being fearful of them. Without being fearful of them. You know, Jason, the thought occurred to me, yeah, if you apply a little logic to it, oh, there's the little white-footed mouse. We're seeing an explosion in that population, so that's why we have more Lyme disease. Well, you know, we have more domestic and feral cats than we've ever had in this country. We have more mouse traps and mouse poison out than we've ever had in this country. You know, I would think that just from, say, two or three generations ago, we probably have less mice in people's houses and things like that than we did two or three generations ago. And if that's how Lyme disease is being spread, you would think that carrier there's a whole lot less of them than years ago because we have, you know, better methods of control. To me, that makes sense. Doesn't make sense at all. Well, yeah, there's more mice, so there's more of this and more in that. But we are to be aware of these things, and it gives us something to pray against. It gives us something to say, Lord, I'm gonna with your power and authority, I'm gonna overcome that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things. This person's got to make up their mind. It's like, yeah, I know. I've talked to people that don't like to go hunting because they are worried about getting bit by a tick, and they're worried about the chronic wasting disease. disease, and they're worried about, you know, this disease and that disease. And it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, I can understand being careful, you know.
Yes.
I mean, and I've talked to people, and they've shot an animal, and they've looked at it, and it's like, you know what, I walked away from it. That animal was so unhealthy when I got up to it. It was it's so sickly looking, or I cut it open, and, you know, I could it smelled rotten. I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's certain things you do. But, I mean, to not go in the woods, I mean, it's like, okay, big deal. If you get Lyme's disease, you're going to get Lyme's disease. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's like, if I get Lyme's disease for going hunting, then I'm going to get Lyme's disease. But I don't have to have that attitude. I don't have to get it. I'm not going to be, not going to quit doing. But that's part of this agenda, and that's where they want people. They want people in that state of mind. They don't like people. They have a hatred for people who can go out in the woods and be a hunter and shoot something and harvest.
Yes.
Because that does not fit into their plans. They do not do things that way.
Yes.
And so it's different groups of people. You know, long standing is, you know, the biggest military force in the world is, you know, the United States hunters. There's more rifles, there's more ammunition among them than any army on the face of the earth. So it stands to reason that those armies would be attacked.
Yes.
And, I think that's one of the things we've been doing.
I agree.
I never thought of it like that before.
Well, it comes back to what you said, Jason.
It makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you that you bring this up, and this is a little different angle here. Here in the Midwest and Northeast, or whatever you, however you want to put it, we have the Emerald Ash Borer, and you look in all the low ground where all the ash trees are. And I'm actually looking at some right now. There's hardly a live ash tree. I'm in the tree service, and if I see one that's been treated and healthy, it's hard for me to recognize what it is because I've seen so many dead ones. And I just read another article, and I don't remember where I read it. It might have been in one of our magazines at the office. But there's a new tree disease out there that's hitting Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada. They figure it's going to wipe out 26 million trees, and all that habitat for all those animals is going to disappear. It's just like in Colorado when I was out there, I don't know, 5-6 months ago, elk hunting, all the amount of pine trees,
yes,
that are on those mountains, and it was stunning to me.
And that's happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being out there 15 years ago, and you know, the mountains were actually a very lush place, lush and green. When I walk out there, I mean, it's just tree skeletons as far as the eye could see.
Yes.
And, you know, so I agree with you, Jason. It is an attack. It's not by accident. You know, all these tree diseases and chronic wasting disease and Lyme disease and, I mean, you name it, you know, an accident. Well, where the heck did the emerald ash borer come from? Where did the pine beetle that's killing all the trees out in Colorado come from? They had to get there somehow.
Yep.
Well, there are those that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what the enemy does. It is what the enemy does, believe it or not. You know, Pastor, in the message, I don't know if it was this past Sunday, Zach, since you mentioned his message, he talked about the, you know, having enemies. And he kind of laughed and said, ooh, like he was a member of the congregation. He said, ooh, I'm not going to go to that church. They have enemies. You know, I don't want to go to a church that has enemies. Well, guess what, folks? We have, as Christians, we have an enemy. And he steals, kills, and destroys. So when you see stealing, when you see killing, when you see destruction, you need to remember and recognize that that is from the enemy. That is not part of that abundant life that Christ came to bring and that he offers. That comes when there is disorder in the home, even if it's the joy that's destroyed and the blessings of a household in a home that's stolen or destroyed or taken away.
Well, when you boil it right down, and I've heard it said, when you sin, and I've heard Pastor Peter say this, and I mean, it's been going on, and it's been said a lot lately on the ministry. When you sin, you give Satan and his workers legal right to tear you up. Well, on the other hand, when a country sins as much as the United States has sinned, that gives the enemy legal right to release pine beetles and
yes.
emerald ash borer and Lyme disease. And the list goes on and on and on. So no matter which way you cut it, this country needs to look itself in the mirror and be like, it's our fault. We can sit there and talk about how much, you know, all these things going on and they're doing this and that. We are giving them legal right as a country to devastate the land. We are.
Yes.
You know, and if you look, and with that one story, I believe it was within King David, and I'm not sure, but it's just, hold on. There's a forest where all the guys died because the forests were so thick over in the Middle East. Any of you guys remember that story?
Oh, it said that the forest killed more than the sword. I did. I read that just a couple weeks ago, and I thought, it's 2 Samuel 18:8. And that's because I looked it up in the glossary, because I didn't remember where it was. But that glossary is a pretty neat thing.
Now think about it. Okay, if that's what the landscape looked like back then forest, and look at it now.
Yes.
It's because of the sin. 100%.
Yes.
And I don't think people, you know, I never really thought about it before, but that's exactly what's happening here today. So, you know, it's repent or perish, period.
It absolutely is.
Repent or perish.
Yep. It is. How about Romans 8:22? It says, all creation groans. What do you think that means? Here it is. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And that is because
it's because of sin.
You know, I hear people quote sometimes that, you know, the what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can death or tribulation or war or this or that? No. But there is something that separates us from God. And there's something that causes him to not hear our prayers. And it's called sin. Transgression of his law. And when that happens, well, then we have the mess that we have today. Well,
yeah,
folks, I hope you've enjoyed.
You look at.
Go ahead, Jay. No, go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, one of the things that I thought, too, that is worth mentioning, I got it up on the Newswire this week, is the Boston Herald calls for government-run execution squads to mass murder naturopaths, scientists, and journalists who oppose mercury and immunization. As you read this and go back and read the articles, I mean, it's, you know, talk about, I think, and everything that we've talked about today is, I really believe, is talking about two different groups of people. And you know, I think that it's either aliens or alien influence, you know, but I think is what it boils down to is we got tares and wheat for separation. But this article goes in and it talks about how the complete Boston Herald staff wrote an article and talked about, according to the Boston Herald, we should all be hanged after being identified and rounded up for anybody that even questions the vaccination. And you know, you're talking about you've got, you know, one group of people on one side and another group of people on the other side. I mean, the same thing is those was everything that we've talked about. When we talked about order in the home, there's people that are gonna, you know, I mean, there's the woman's lib, there's those opposed that push that. It's separation, and I believe that that's what we're going into is that time. That's been prophesied that it is going to happen, and you know, that's one of the things that our pastor spent years on saying it is going to happen. There is going to be the separation of the goats and the sheep, about the right and the left, about the tares and the wheat. And You know, I think that that's what we're talking about. That's where we're at.
It is. It is. You know, when you look at the logic, just like on vaccination, since you mentioned it, you look at the logic. I was talking to a college graduate here in Wyoming a couple of years ago they had done they brought it up. They had done an article on the Amish about this and that. And I asked them, I said, well, you know, did you find in your research that the Amish don't vaccinate, do they? No, they don't vaccinate. And I said, what are the rates of autism with the Amish with this research you did? Oh, well, I didn't check that. And I said, well, look at it, because the Amish is a people, not that they're Christian, because they're Amish doesn't mean they're Christian, but they choose a certain lifestyle. And the Amish don't vaccinate. They don't. That's one of their common things. The Amish don't vaccinate, and the Amish have zero autism. Now, I don't have a PhD in autism. I don't have a PhD in anything. But I can see a correlation there. My oldest son is 27. And when he was born, that's crazy, you know that? That my oldest son is 27, because I was 27 yesterday. And today I'm not 27 anymore. But when he was born, autism was not in the vocabulary. It was not in the vocabulary of parents having children. It wasn't. And you know, now you hear race car drivers saying, oh, 1 in 88 of children all have symptoms of autism. Well, it's a curse. It's been released. Why is that? Why is that? It used to not be that way. Just like you mentioned, Zach, those mountains out here in Colorado and Wyoming and here used to be lush mountains. You didn't have hundreds of thousands of acres of dead pine trees. And you used to have the shade of that beautiful ash back east, all up and down, all around. And you had those huge forests back in the Middle East that devoured more men during battles than the sword did. And those forests are no more. And the common denominator is sin, is because of the sin in the land.
Yes, it is.
Well, Zach, we know you you got a busy morning planned. It's getting about work time for you out there, isn't it? You got a market garden that's opened up, or what exactly is it?
It's a little greenhouse. My wife and I and my uncle started a few years ago, and you know, it's been humble beginnings, but we keep getting more and more traction, and more and more customers. So we're excited. We put a lot of work into it, and we opened up yesterday. So it's going to be full on here until about the second or third week of June.
Well, so, awesome.
But, yeah. So, yeah, we're excited about it. And, you know, we get good results. A lot of people like to come over, and, you know, it's family-orientated. And, you know, a lot of women show up, and they have their kids. So then their kids kind of go hang out with my kids, and they go play on the swings and the slides, and you know, they get to do their shopping, so they kind of got a little babysitter while they get going. And you know, and we've had good results. I'm very pleased. God bless us in that aspect of our life.
Well, that's great to hear. It is. Well, folks, as we're running out of time, that's about the hour. I see the phone line ringing. Let me get over there and see if I can get to that. We got a minute here for a call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Got a minute this morning.
Yeah, hey, Richard. I was just having a cup of coffee with you fellas. One interesting topic you brought up was the forest and everything. You got to realize that I think there's like a few thousand acres left on the North American continent where there's any semblance of virgin forest. And if you've ever been in a stand of a huge trees, there's very little undergrowth and very little slash. There's very little deadfall. And I think that the majority of the country is what isn't plowed under or in suburban is covered with second growth forest. And all those trees, for the most part, are dead, and they don't know it because they're so tall. and when a storm comes by, the weakest of them crashes to the ground. And as because I had a cabin in Idaho, and every time we went out there, it was 3 days of clearing broken dead branches and cutting up fallen trees and everything.
Yes.
I talked to a ranger one day out there, and I explained to her this. I said, you look around here, you can't see 100 yards because there's so many trees competing for air and light. That only exacerbates, insect because of the moistness. There's no sunshine that gets in there, and very little air.
Yeah, it is. It is. Joe, I think it's a great example of how things are today. They weren't always that way, and they're not the way that God intended. And so when we get back to His Word, we get back to that, as Zach brought out, that order in the home and that order in our lives and order in the nation. And repentance, it works. It works. Well, Joe, we're running out of time. Thanks for the call, brother. We appreciate it. Well, guys, we are running out of time on the program. And as Jason said, the times we're in, wars and rumors of wars. We do want to invite you to come to church tomorrow. Encourage you to not forsake the assembly. Join us at church at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream, and we'll start at 8:30 in the morning, and we'll run it till, 8:30 till about noon Western Mountain Time. And that'll be 9:30 to 1 Central and 10:30 to 2 on the East Coast, I do believe. And a little bit earlier than that on the West Coast, but we invite you to join us for some good Bible preaching and teaching. And in communion, you can partake of communion, and that's a very important thing we're supposed to be doing. Well, guys, thanks again for joining us, and Jason, we'll see you at church in the morning. And Zach, have a blessed day with the work that you have ahead of you, brother.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.